Right now, a player who is on the move in the NBA is guard Yogi Ferrell. Yesterday, it was reported that Yogi had agreed to a two-year, $5.3 million deal to stay in Dallas. Today, he rescinded that deal and has ultimately chosen to sign with Sacramento for 2 years and $6.2 million. Your immediate reaction, Taylor Phillips?
It's a bittersweet farewell to Ferrell. What a roller coaster day for the Mavs, where yesterday it seemed like, all right, we have Yogi Ferrell back. It's going to be just some more point guard depth to already a very strong-looking point guard core. And now he's gone. And it's just, this is not too uncommon for the Mavs the last couple of years. They've had a couple of guys do this to them where they've agreed to a deal and then all of a sudden back out the last second.
Okay, I'm going to say this and then I'm going to move on from it. If I see one more person on Twitter compare this to DeAndre Jordan, I'm going to throw up. And here's why. For so many reasons, it's just different. One, and maybe if you disagree with me, feel free to call me up at 855-787-1033. I'd love to hear your input on this. Yogi Ferrell is not a significant piece on a winning team. And I know that he's young, and I know that the Mavs aren't necessarily ready to win right now. But look at their guards. They've got Dennis Smith. They've got Jalen Brunson. They've got Luka Doncic. You still have J.J. Barea. I mean, where's his minutes coming from?
Okay,
I mean,
but it's not like all that changed since he signed.
Well, no.
All that was the same when he signed or agreed yesterday.
Yeah, I think he reassessed the situation and was like, if I can get more money and playing time
like
somewhere
DeAndre
else.
Like DeAndre Jordan did.
Okay, but he waited, what, a week to back out? And that's my next point on this. Yogi Ferrell, this is at the bitter end of free agency. There's not big names left. DeAndre did signed with the Mavs on, what, the second day of free agency? He verbally agreed 3 years ago and then drug it out for a week and then backed out. By then, there was no one left. This is already near the bitter end for the Mavericks. They can go sign Devin Harris if they want to. I've seen that floated out there. I'd be fine with that. You know, he can give you 8-10 minutes off the bench this year as one of your last guards. And if you're a guy like Yogi Ferrell, and I get it, there's income state income tax in California, so the money may not be that big of a difference, but this is a guy fighting for his NBA career 2 years ago. He was bouncing around the G League before hitting on with the Mavs. And if you can get an extra $900,000 if you're Yogi Ferrell and you feel like the opportunity to play more and raise your profile is better in Sacramento, I'm not going to fault you for that.
That was such a fun ride when he came here the first few games where he was here. Just looking at these game logs from the 2016-2017 season. Starting out in San Antonio, correct me if I'm wrong, hadn't they lost like 8 straight to the Spurs or something coming into that game?
Might be right.
And then he goes at 9 points, they win the game, goes up against the Cavaliers the next game. They did not have LeBron playing that day, but they did have Kyrie Irving. He goes off for 19 points.
Yep.
That's against a team that went to the finals, as they have the last 4 years. Then he has the 76ers before they became the 76ers we know today. He had 11 points against them. And then I believe this was a Friday night because I watched this game before I came in for my Saturday morning shift with Elf, who's now on Sundays. And I'd only been here for about a month, so I was really trying to catch back up on the Mavs and everything after graduating college. And I remember watching this Portland game. I believe it was an ESPN Friday night game.
In Portland,
32 points. Yep. 32 points for a guy, as you said, was in the G League doing nothing. Well,
He was with Brooklyn's G League team. He couldn't make Brooklyn's roster, and he was being a contributor for the Mavs. And, yeah, there's no doubt. Yogi did some nice things this year in his 2 years here in Dallas, especially that first year. Last year, I think he averaged 10.5 points. If you look at the deeper numbers, and Chuck Cooperstein has mentioned this a lot on his Twitter page, a lot of his scoring in high-percentage games are not in high leverage situations. It's when the game is out of hand and he's getting minutes because that's when backups are in. Look, Yogi did some nice things here, but if I'm a Mavs fan, I want to see Jalen Brunson play more. I don't want Yogi Ferrell getting minutes over Jalen Brunson. You could argue, yeah, J.J. Barea, but I still think in the here and now, J.J. Barea probably has more value to this team and especially those young guards than Yogi Ferrell does. Does it stink that he verbally agreed yesterday, then backed out today? Yeah, I guess.
I think this might be a little worse than the DeAndre thing. At least DeAndre didn't hold a press or saying, I'm going to be a Maverick for a long time and and shake the hands, well, and it's all good, all good. And then the next day, JK, guys, I'm going to Sacramento.
It's definitely not worse just based on the impact of each player.
I'm not saying the player's better. I'm saying that the commitment issue, that if you're at the heart of it, that's what would bother me if I were a Mavericks fan, is that the guy said he was going to come back, and then he's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, go get the money and all that because you're Yogi Ferrell, and life comes at you fast because we saw how this career took off, and get the money while you can because you're a six-foot shooting guard. But still, that's got to sting if you're a Mavericks fan, especially if you have any emotional attachment to Yogi Ferrell.
I just don't know how it stings when Yogi Ferrell is at best a good role player. And to me, on a good team, he's a guy, I'll put it this way, on a playoff team, that guy's not getting minutes. Maybe a few minutes here and there, and that's probably if there's an injury occurring.
I think the biggest thing it shows to me is just shows how truly special Dirk is. And not like you need any more reasons for that. It just shows what he's doing for the Mavericks is something you can't expect for more than 1% of guys playing in professional sports.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. 21st season this upcoming year in Dallas. Everybody compares him and Kobe together. I don't even think that's fair because Kobe tried to leave in the mid-2000s when things were going south. Dirk is so one of a kind that it's almost, like you said, it's not even fair to have that be the bar, because he blows the bar out of the water in terms of loyalty and commitment to one franchise. We truly haven't seen anyone like it, and that's what brings me to this next NBA story. You're talking little Mavs and NBA here on 103.3 FM, ESPN, Harrison Graham, Taylor Phillips, Chris Gross with you until 9 o'clock this evening. The whole DeMar DeRozan trade, and you want to talk about loyalty, DeRozan had some of that, man. How many guys have embraced the city of Toronto and wanted to be the guy in Toronto, really in any sport? DeRozan was that guy, and, you know, they trade him for Kawhi Leonard, which, again, I certainly don't blame them for that. If you can get a top five player, you go and do it. But it just goes to show that at the end of the day, all this stuff, whether it's Yogi Ferrell backing out for a few extra bucks, DeAndre a few years ago, whether you like it or not, it's a business.
This one actually, this trade caught me a little off guard, not because that DeMar DeRozan is going to the Spurs. I understand if you're going to trade for someone like Kawhi Leonard, I want someone like DeMar DeRozan in return. But the fact that their GM, it sounded like, wasn't really going to commit to trading DeMar DeRozan. It sounded like he wanted to keep moving forward. They have a new coach up there in Toronto and keep that core and see what they can do in the East with that. But wasn't the case.
You kind of felt like once they fired Dwayne Casey that Lowry or DeRozan might be gone too, just because we got to change the status quo. When, you know, getting first in the Eastern Conference, that's great, but, you know, let's try something different. And that's kind of the sense I got here. I actually floated this out to Chuck Cooperstein, I think it was Elf, one night, game night, right after they got swept by the Cavs. I said, I floated out there, would it be crazy for the Raptors to try and go get Kawhi? Because all the talk was L.A. or Boston or Philly. I just thought it made sense because they had two high level players that they could move. And ultimately, that's what ended up happening. Obviously, today, you saw the news. Masai Ujiri, the Raptors president, publicly apologized to DeMar, basically saying, hey, because I guess they had a conversation saying that, you know, this is what we want from you moving forward, and then the next day he's gone. Just another example of how things can move quickly in the NBA, but again, I mean, Kawhi Leonard, top five player. Now we'll see how it plays out.
And don't get me wrong, I'm cool with this trade as far as the Spurs are concerned. With the Raptors, even with them, it wasn't working in the playoffs with those two guys. It had to be done. This was a very underperforming playoff team.
It's a high risk, but I think it's worth it if you're the Raptors for a couple of reasons. One, DeMar has $27 million per year for the next 3 years, which, good player, but it's kind of a lot. With Kawhi, you kind of have this one-year experiment. If he falls in love with Toronto somehow, which probably is a long shot, but let's say they make a run to the Eastern Conference Finals, they still have a good team. They basically just upgraded from DeMar DeRozan to Kawhi Leonard. If Kawhi's healthy, that team should be better than they were to contend in the playoffs. LeBron's not in the East anymore. Really, it's the Raptors, Celtics, and 76ers. That's really all you're talking about with the East. Everybody else is miles behind. And if you're Toronto, hey, if you make a run with Kawhi, maybe he stays. Maybe it's a Paul George situation where no one thought OKC was going to be able to keep Paul George, and a year later, here he is committing to a four-year max.
But the difference with those two guys was Paul George seemed willing to actually, you know, talk to people and maybe get to know people.
And embrace OKC.
And actually embrace it. Kawhi Leonard, it sounds like that was the first thing we heard is whenever, I think it was Chris Haynes that might have reported it, where it went from...
He doesn't want to play
there. He doesn't want to play in Toronto. He goes, gets traded. Oh, well, here comes a tweet. Doesn't want
to
be there.
He's got some image fixing to do, and that's why I think ultimately he's going to put his head down and play hard. And that's another aspect of this. He played 9 games last year.
He's the biggest superstar in a sport where all the superstars are they're loud, they like to get their brand out there. I tell you, I don't know anything about Kawhi Leonard other than what you see on the court.
If you heard him talk, if I wasn't looking at him talking and I heard him talk, I couldn't point out his voice, you know. Like, if we heard a cut from LeBron James right now, you'd know it was LeBron, but if we had a Kawhi cut, probably wouldn't know it was him.
Now he's going to be that guy in Toronto. So now it's if he's going to build his star brand, if he even wants to. I know that's been a hot topic in Major League Baseball right now, but let's see if Kawhi can build on his Kawhi brand before his free agency.
I think it at least makes the East more interesting because we knew before this it was Boston, Philly. Now you kind of have the Raptors being back in the mix. And if it doesn't work, like you said, you got the DeMar contract off the books, and you're just going to rebuild next year. That's not the worst thing in the world.
In your heart of hearts, if you had to make a very early preseason pick for the Eastern Conference champion, who do you have between those three teams?
Boston. If Boston's healthy, they're the best team.
See, I'm going to go Philly. I think Philly just got a little shell-shocked in the playoffs being so young. I think they're going to have a long time to think about this
one.
Well,
and now there's
liking Philly.
There's that rumor that they're trying to trade for Kyle Korver. You get another three-point sniper out there with J.J. Redick as well. That could be... It'll be interesting. Like I said, the East is more interesting now.